this tax exemption eludes me like a gazelle eludes an arthritic cat.
Why can't Canby people keep track of their dogs? Like, what is...
To do that, you can't be stupid with guns.
Yeah. Set the board is saying they want to make Canby schools great again.
It feels like we've been doing this interview for years.
Inside of me was screaming.
You run for school board, you win or you die.
There's no second place.
Welcome to the Canby Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
The Gateway Arch has long been a powerful and iconic symbol in the history of civilization, beckoning travelers to come visit new territories and embark on grand adventures. Local leaders are hoping the proposed Canby Gateway Arch over North Grant Street between Northwest First Avenue and the railroad tracks could one day serve a similar purpose for historic downtown Canby. The city council, in their role as urban renewal agency on Wednesday night, got their first look at the designs for the new monument proposed by Scott Edwards Architecture, who drew the inspiration for the city's existing architecture motifs as well as other iconic structures, including the gates of Ledson Winery in Kenwood, California, and the Encinitas Archway in Encinitas, California. I'm just saying it that way because if I don't, I will mess it up. The ultimate direction councilors chose was to blend two of the design's concepts together. They liked the flagstone pillars of the first design concept, which incorporate a uniquely Pacific Northwest style already in use in the downtown core, but preferred the arch from the second, one very similar to the clean vintage look and feel of the Encinitas Arch. The city hopes the arch becomes a landmark for the town, a source of pride and inspiration, and certainly one aspect of the cultural revitalization and economic development effort in downtown Canby. It will not merely be a static thing. It seems all but set in stone, flagstone, that the arch will host a rotating array of signs and banners advertising different local events such as Canby's Independence Day celebration and Big Night Out street dance. Footloose's worst nightmare, celebrating dancing in the streets. Other elements that were discussed including lighting, integrated seating, a water feature, and a fountain for visitors of the human and canine variety, and a community time capsule. There will also be the ability to add plaques commemorating significant events in Canby's history and dedicating the archway itself, which City Administrator Rick Robinson pointed out is a moment in history in its own right.
Yeah, and we really wanted to take advantage of the space by identifying some significantly historic event or site in our community.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that one of those eight will have all of your names on it as a dedication plaque, so you have seven left.
I think one that says Rick.
Now we're talking.
Whatever. This has been a concept that you've had for 20 years, and you're finally, this group of people is pulling the trigger and making it happen. So it's good to commemorate that because that's a moment in history. And I just think it's smart to do that.
After reviewing the proposal by Scott Edwards, the Urban Renewal Agency unanimously approved a contract to work with the Portland firm for a fee of $45,000. Heading up the project will be Brian Mars, one of the principals for Scott Edwards. Robinson acknowledged that while it is sometimes unusual for a principal of a prominent design firm to take the lead on a smaller job like this, Mars has developed a particular interest in this project. Preliminary construction estimates for the project are $240,600, financed through the Urban Renewal Funds. This figure includes insurance, bonding, and a 10% contingency. The budgeted amount for the project was $235,000, but Robinson said the city has identified other available urban renewal funding for the project should the final cost exceed the budgeted appropriation. For a look at the proposed design concepts, visit our website at canbynowpod.com. A Portland man was arrested last week after police say he intentionally drove a van carrying his wife into the Clackamas County River Thursday evening and then floated away. The Clackamas County Sheriff's Office says Daniel Wayne Finley, 51 years old, drove into the river at the Barton Park boat ramp in Boring around 6:30 p.m. The woman told police that they had not discussed going to Barton, and Finley did not say anything when they turned into the park. Finley then drove onto the boat ramp and accelerated, still without saying anything, according to the police. They estimate the van hit the river going 35 to 40 miles an hour. The woman injured her knee in the impact, but both were able to escape the vehicle through the driver's door. The woman made her way to shore and was assisted by the people there, while Finley swam to the center of the river and began to float downstream. Deputies responded to the area and deployed marine units in their boats, the water rescue team, and a canine team to search for Finley, but they were unable to find him that day. The water team worked with the Clackamas River Towing to remove the half-submerged van from the river. Deputies located Finley around 4 a.m. the following day when he was called in as a suspicious person in the area of Highway 224 and 197th Avenue near the Clackamas River. Deputies reported Finley was in a, quote, disheveled condition when they picked him up. He's probably a little wet, too, maybe. He requested to go to the hospital. Instead, EMTs from Clackamas Fire District and American Medical Response came to the scene to check on Finley. He was then transported to the Clackamas County Jail without incident and later interviewed by an investigator from the Clackamas County Domestic Violence Enhanced Response Team. Finley was booked on charges of attempted assault in the second degree, failure to perform duties of a driver, and reckless endangering. The suspect accused of inappropriately touching women at the Clackamas Town Center at Barnes & Noble Bookstore in April has been arrested on new harassment charges stemming from a more recent incident at the Happy Valley Library. Really? Two places where they got books? This guy's weird. Authorities are looking for possible additional victims. On Wednesday, suspect Justin Carl Phelps was at the Clackamas County Courthouse for his arraignment on the April 13th incident in which he was caught on camera inappropriately touching bookstore patrons. As he was leaving the courthouse following the arraignment, a detective with Clackamas County Sheriff's Office arrested Phelps on a new unrelated charge of harassment. In this new incident, Phelps is accused of following a woman around the Happy Valley Library on Saturday, August 3rd at approximately 4 p.m. He reportedly inappropriately touched the woman, followed her back to her car, and then continued to follow her in his own vehicle after she drove away. Detectives with the CCSO say they are concerned that Phelps may be escalating his alleged behavior. Investigators would like to know if you have been inappropriately touched or followed by Phelps, or if you have witnessed him engaging in inappropriate behavior. Anyone with information on Justin Phelps or who has been inappropriately followed, contacted, or touched by this suspect is urged to contact the Sheriff's Office tip line by phone at 503-723-4949 or online. For photos and video surveillance footage of Phelps and his vehicle, visit our website canbenowpod.com. Former Clackamas County Commissioner Tootie Smith has announced her intention to rejoin that body, launching her candidacy to challenge incumbent board chair Jim Bernard. In a press release, Smith said she disagreed with the commissioner's decision to enact a countywide vehicle registration fee without voter approval when voters had previously rejected local transportation taxes and fees numerous times. She was also critical of various other tax increases proposed by Metro that she claimed commissioners supported, as well as the new Clackamas County Courthouse with an estimated price tag of $230 million. Clackamas County is a bellwether county for Oregon. As Clackamas County goes, so goes Oregon, Smith says. Sometimes we are Republican, sometimes Democrat, but we are always independent of mind, body, and spirit. Smith is also a former member of the Oregon Legislature, having served two terms as a Republican member of the Oregon House of Representatives from 2000 to 2004. She was elected to the nonpartisan position of Clackamas County Commissioner in 2012. 2 years later, she unsuccessfully ran for United States House of Representatives, receiving 39% of the vote, but ultimately losing to incumbent Democrat Kurt Schrader. She ran for re-election to the county commissioner in 2016, but lost to Ken Humberston. Drivers should be advised of some upcoming road projects in the local area. Southeast Township Road will be closed from the railroad crossing to Sequoia Parkway starting this Wednesday through the end of the month. Canby Excavating has been contracted to install water, storm, and sewer main lines along with rebuilding the roadway. Traffic will be detoured along Southeast 13th Avenue via South Redwood Street and Sequoia Parkway. If you have any questions or concerns, you can contact Mark Ball at Canby Excavating by phone at 503-209-2754 or email at markb@canbyx.com. In addition, Clackamas County starts today on the resurfacing of approximately 5 miles of roadway on Beaver Creek Road from Upper Highland Road to Henrichi Road in the Beaver Creek area. While the entire project isn't expected to be completed until mid-October, the most significant traffic impacts are expected to be between Monday, August 12th and Monday, September 9th. Work will take place from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the possibility of additional weekend or night work depending on weather and other conditions. The road will remain open during construction, but there will be lane closures with delays of up to 20 minutes at a time. Travelers will be assisted by flaggers and pilot cars and are asked to slow down and use caution near the work zone. County project updates will be posted at bit.ly/roadclosures.
I am not a golfer. I mean, I'm not a good golfer. So when I want to play a few rounds, I head over to Frontier Golf Course. They're a family-owned, family-friendly 9-hole course with beautiful scenery. And they let me rent clubs or bring my own. And they don't judge me for my slices and hacks. Or, you know, my language.
Frontier Golf Course is a great place to meet your buddies and have a drink or bring your kids along. They're located on Holly Street just north of town. If you hit the ferry, you've gone too far.
Also, please don't hit the ferry.
Yeah, please don't. But do ask them about Farley the Goat. They love that. Frontier prides itself on being the best value course you'll find in the area. If you haven't been by in a while, you've got to come check out what the new owners have done. Frontier Golf Course, it's a new frontier. Hey Tyler, did you know that the world has changed in the past 20 years?
No way!
Yep, it's true. The way people shop for goods and services has completely changed since this thing called the internet started catching on.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And yet some realtors still offer the same old services in the same old ways and for the same old percentages. Victory Point Property Group in Canby believes it's time the real estate business caught up with the times. They'll meet with you for free, explain every step of the process, give you a clear game plan, and even let you choose the listing commission.
Really? They let you choose their commission?
Really? Victory Point Property Group understands this is one of the biggest and most exciting decisions of your life, and they'll do everything they can to make sure you handle it like a rock star.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to check them out by calling 503-263-4700 or by visiting online at victorypointhomes.com.
You do that. Victory Point Property Group, real estate reimagined. Simple Simon. Simple Simon met a pieman going to the fair. Says Simple Simon to the pieman, "Let me taste your ware." Says the pieman to Simple Simon, "Show me first your penny." Says Simple Simon to the pieman, "Indeed, I have not any." Simple Simon went a-fishing for to catch a whale. All the water he had got was in his mother's pail. Simple Simon went to look if plums grew on a thistle. He pricked his fingers very much, which made poor Simon whistle. He went for water in a sieve, but soon it all fell through. And now poor Simple Simon bids you all adieu. It's finally here, people. It's Fair Week. For the past 112 years, the Clackamas County Fair has been a cultural centerpiece of the Canby community and surrounding area, showcasing some of the best produce, livestock, crafts, food, music, and let's be honest, I know what people are here for, doughboys that the area has to offer. Joining us on the Canby Conversation today to talk about this, to talk about this year's fair is Tyler Neiser. He's the vendor and marketing coordinator for Clackamas County. Tyler, welcome back onto the show. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Excited about the fair. It's opening this week.
Very excited, yes.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about what your job is and how all the insane hours you had to put in to make the fair have it, you and your team here at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, it's kind of it's full team effort. I mean, we have a lot we have to coordinate and do. I personally work with the vendors, make sure they're all good to go.
Yeah, you personally build all the bleachers, everything. No. you get the fun stuff. You get to work with the vendors and a lot of the people that we, as the fair goers, end up ultimately interacting with and really make the fair what it is for a lot of us.
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's busy.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of walking.
Do you have a number for how many vendors roughly you guys bring for this event? You probably break it out by like food.
So food vendors, I think we're close to like 35-ish.
Okay.
And then like 100 other like...
Yeah,
commercial vendors
you
and
have,
stuff.
Yeah, you have folks that are showcasing service goods and services. You have probably people selling little trinkets and things.
Yeah.
So about upwards of 130 or so all told. That's crazy. Yeah, that is pretty busy.
Yeah.
Do you actively like recruit new folks to come in? Do you kind of build off of the previous year? Do you just wait for folks to come in and ask for space? How does it work?
Yeah, so we build off of the next year, kind of give people a chance to come back, and then we like to fill in new spaces, give a different feel every year.
What were you looking for this year?
I don't know. This year we got some, like, the new vendor that we have this year was like a mineral vendor, so he's gonna do some cool stuff with kids and sell that, and yeah, he's got some very cool showcase pieces that he's bringing in, so that was kind of a new piece this year.
Yeah, I think last year there was like something with bugs or...
Yeah, there was, I think, butterflies?
Yeah.
So, they're not gonna... I don't think that they're coming back this year, but we are gonna still have some, like, Puzzle Mania.
Okay.
The dog show people, Extreme Air Dogs, will be here, so that's a totally new
Extreme
showcase.
Air Dogs. Is that like that movie Air Bud? They're gonna be, like, playing basketball, like, doing dunks and stuff?
You can go one-on-one personally with them?
I mean, if I wanted to be embarrassed, I guess.
No, they're jumping off of like into the pool off the docks and frisbee catching and stuff like that.
Cool. So this is not a corn dog that's thrown through the air and I try to catch it with my mouth. It's not that. Okay.
Nope.
That's cool. So they've never been here before.
No, they have not.
Okay.
So they actually progress their show. So they're at many different fairs and they end at the state fair.
Okay.
So like they actually have a real competition going on.
Oh, it's a competition.
The finalists will go to the Oregon State Fair.
Interesting.
So, this is just one of those competitions that leads up to the big one.
Cool. So it's not a show. I thought it was like
a
show.
It's both. It's
I mean,
a
it's entertainment, but it's
individual
private trainers that are competing against each other.
Yeah.
And I saw some of the pictures earlier. It's like all different kinds of dogs, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. What about the entertainment this year?
Entertainment. We've got a lot of good entertainment this year. Brady Goss will be here. Timothy James Band, some of the locals.
Right. Joni Harms.
Yeah, Joni Harms and Olivia will be here.
Okay, her daughter.
Yeah.
And so we got some country music. I don't know, a little bit of different genres coming out. So.
Yeah. And the magician will be back.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Fun. I think the hypnotist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they like. I haven't seen them. They like bring people up from the audience.
They do.
Or, okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that you're hypnotizable? I've never tried. I always believe that I'm not, but I don't know. Maybe that means that I am. Maybe that's.
I like
how
to
it
think
works.
That too, but I've never tried it. So
yeah.
I like to just keep that thought in my mind. So.
Right.
I don't want to prove myself wrong.
Cool. Food vendors, a lot of the same ones that we've had in the past.
Yeah.
Obviously, you'll have your doughboys, your elephant ears, your corn dogs, your tacos, your Chinese food, all the fair food you come to love and your body hates.
Exactly.
But it's only once a year, right?
Yeah. There's a few new ones. We've got some pretzel vendor who does like tons of different pretzels.
Oh, okay.
A Dole Whip vendor who kind of does the Disneyland experience of Dole Whip.
Yeah.
So,
So we're going to be following up later this week at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are going to be interviewing some people. We're going to be trying at least some of the food. And we're talking about we're just going to,
you know, figure out what we'll try that day. But I think, you know, you have me at the pretzels, so I don't know. I think we need to go any farther than that. That sounds pretty good. We'll see how that works out. Yeah. Cool. Well, I did want to ask you, you know, you grew up here, Tyler, like I didn't, you know, I love the Clackamas County Fair. I've been here every year that I've been coming every year that I have been here, but, it's just a wonderful event. It's so fun. Like it's in the realm of county fairs, yeah. Like it's amazing. It's, yeah. It's just a great event. And I wanted to ask kind of maybe some of your experience with it growing up here, maybe some favorite memories or just what it means to you, what it meant to your childhood or your adult experience, yeah, perhaps right. Now that you have kids of your own that yeah. you can bring. So.
Well, I had many different lenses to see the county fair. When I was really young, up until like, you know, my teenage years, I would come with my family and my dad and my brother would always enter in the chocolate cake, men's chocolate cake contest.
Okay.
We never won.
Okay.
But that was fun.
Is that where they bake chocolate cake or they try to eat as much of the cake as they can?
You bring it in baked. Okay. And you hope that it wins a trophy or something.
Gotcha.
But yeah. We like doing that.
That's for folks that have maybe never been to the fair, to me, because where I come from in Kentucky, a fair was just about rides and food. Mm. We did not do all of this stuff. Like when I came here and I like, you know, all these random buildings, like I wouldn't yeah. have even looked twice at them. And my wife's like, no, you have to go in there. And all these amazing crafts, there's art, yeah. there's photo competitions. Yeah. That to me, and that's part of the history of this mm-hmm. event, where it initially came from is people showcasing their talents and
exactly.
things and,
yeah.
and, you know, trying to show the Joneses next door that you could grow a better tomato or whatever.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, that like neighborly competition. But that to me is what's one thing that's really amazing about this event. And mm-hmm. I think that that's probably pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of your experience as well.
Yeah. And then into my teenage years, I got experience it through 4-H and raising pigs.
Okay.
So I brought my pigs here and got to spend all week at the fair.
Yeah.
Loved going to the rodeo and just like experiencing the fair every day was kind of fun because it's new every day.
Yeah.
So there was different experiences and then getting to see all my hard work pay off and sell the animal at the auction and stuff. So it's just, it taught me some good life skills as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you and a lot of the kids that participate in the animals, I wonder if people forget that, but yeah. They get money at the
they
end
do.
Of this. Like,
yeah.
It,
yeah.
And sometimes a lot of money yeah. if they're selling like a cow or something.
Right.
So
yeah.
yeah. That was like your first job, I guess.
Or, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. What kind of skills do you feel you learned from that?
I don't know. It just taught me good hard work. Being, I don't know, just like making sure that you're always there on time and, you know, you always had to be here really early to feed the animals.
Yeah.
So you had to be responsible and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. Do you think it's helpful for kids, especially in today's day and age, maybe like to really understand and know where food comes from, you know, like that's something that I think is lost a lot of times for in communities where we're not quite as maybe enmeshed with the agricultural side of things and the livestock side of things.
Yeah.
Here, that's part of life and it's part of our biggest events,
yeah.
you know, like you don't really have the Clackamas County Fair without that aspect. So,
right.
Yeah.
Sure. Of course, there was always the carnival rides that I went on and stuff like that. But that was pretty much that's pretty much my experience.
Did you ever ride like a favorite ride until you threw up or anything like that?
I was kind of a chicken, so I didn't
Where are you?
A whole lot of the rides. I mean, I
okay. When you say
some
you
of the, like
yeah,
smaller
when,
ones.
I was gonna say when you say
yeah.
that you like rode the rides with your friends, it was like you were just in the teacup by yourself. Like.
You kind of called my bluff there. I was kind of acting all tough, like I was in the big one. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What about the games? So were you a gamer?
You know, every once in a while, but yeah, not really. I'd do the occasional toss of something
yeah.
and lose. But
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I am so like, people think, I guess maybe it's just because of my personality, but like when I'll try to do a thing like that, like throw a ring or bounce a ball on a
yeah.
thing, It's so bad. People assume I'm just joking, like, you know, and then that just like crushes my soul even more. Cause like, no, I was really trying. And then they just think I'm still joking, and it just becomes a cycle of depression and self-loathing. Anyway. But I do enjoy the games where you get to shoot stuff,
yeah.
either water or, right. or even like little BBs or whatever. Like that, yeah. that stuff was always fun. Mm-hmm. How many people come to the Clackamas County Fair?
It kind of ranges. Last year we had 158,000. So
what?
I mean, yeah, a lot of people came. So a lot of it depends on weather and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's roughly 10 times the population of Canby.
Yeah,
that's insane.
A lot of people coming through. So.
Yeah. Do you ever, like, working here, do you ever just, like, that number hits you and you're like, oh my gosh, like, that's how, like, are we serious? You know, like.
I don't know if it ever really sank in.
Yeah.
Because
you know? Yeah, they're not all there at one time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly. throughout the week.
It's throughout the week. So
yeah.
it doesn't really kind of hit that. I don't know.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool. So you guys are kind of hoping to be in that range again, though.
Hopefully, yeah.
yeah.
I think the year prior we were at, like, 145-ish, so.
Yeah. Oh, so
we
it
had
was
a pretty good
it was
year
up,
last year.
Up last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and just tell people the pragmatic details, where they can get tickets, parking passes,
yeah.
where they can come in, hours, and all that stuff. So it kicks off tomorrow, this Tuesday.
Yes. And if they want to get like bracelets at a discounted rate, I would hit
for the
web.
Rides.
Yeah, yeah, for the rides.
Which we did.
Yeah.
Because last year I did not. And I think that we just paid off the loan last week that we had to take out for that. So, yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So they do that discount. And I think it's like $10 off or something like that through our website.
Yeah, you can find that link. That's where we found it. Through,
yeah.
through the website. By
and,
so by your, you can buy, actually, if you don't want to do the bracelets and just want to buy tickets, I think you get a discounted rate too.
Yeah.
And you can do that through
tomorrow.
The website. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
As long
oh,
as
so
you
do
get
it today.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Okay, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
you should
out.
Listen to the podcast as soon as it comes out. I mean, honestly.
But yeah, you get those ride bracelets. We have a senior discount for Wednesday.
Okay.
For $2 for seniors, 65 to 74.
Cool.
All week long, if you're over 75, you get in free.
Yeah. What if you just feel that old?
Yeah. I don't think that'll work.
Okay. Time. Okay. Well, we'll talk about it offline. Anyway.
But yeah, if you want to get tickets, you could go purchase those on our website for both fair and rodeo.
Yeah, cool. And I think that there is it not, you get free entry on Thursday or something?
Yeah, so
yeah.
Thursday is free until 3.
Okay.
So definitely
that's a good,
come in
good
Thursday
community
between
day.
That time. If you go out, get a stamp, and then you come back in after 3.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. And I think before 3, like, everything's free. All the rides are free. All the food is free. It's just a free-for-all, right?
Yeah.
Not so much?
Not so much.
Cool. So later today, we'll be talking to Todd Gary and Dan Mickelson from the Canby Rodeo. They'll be telling us, obviously, a lot about that event. But I think that for you guys, like, they're a really good partner to work with. I mean, that's been a big aspect of this event for a long time as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. A lot of people come to go see the rodeo and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a big part of this, the Clackamas County Fair as
yeah.
a whole. So it's pretty awesome that
well,
they get to do that here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to talk to them. And last thing, what are you most excited about this year's fair before we let you go?
Oh, man. I would say I'm most excited for just the whole event to come together. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's just like, once it starts, it's like, you get this cool feeling and it's like, it's going
to
happen.
It's
got
to be fun
so,
to see that and
yeah,
know you played a part
I
in that.
I love the beginning of it. And then of course through the whole week, it's just fun.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. What is it like the day after? Like, are you just dead? Like what is that experience?
Yeah,
like?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. You just sleep for the next week or something.
For sure.
Well, thanks so much, Tyler. We will see you and the listener will hear from you again in a few more days. We're going to be live from the fair, but thanks so much for giving
yeah.
us a little bit of a sneak peek.
Yeah,
so,
sure, thank you.
So definitely go check out the Clackamas County Fair, and if you're doing rides, hit that website, man. It'll save you some money. So.
Yeah.
Are you a small business owner or maybe thinking of investing in yourself with your very own startup? Awesome. Now all you have to do is reach potential customers at a time when consumers have never been more fragmented, more distracted, or more difficult to reach. If that sounds hard, believe me, it is. That's why I make Frankie do it.
Carrie and her team at Promotional Strategies offer strategic, purposeful solutions to build your brand with lasting promotional items that make sense for you and your company. They are creative geniuses who will deliver advertisements that people actually thank you for and will use every day. We've tried other sellers, and we trust Carrie to provide high-quality branded items that we can be proud of. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com. You know, Halloween will be here before you know it. Heck, the decorations are already in the stores. So I've got a scary good deal for you. DirectLink is offering 50% off their blazing fast internet speeds now through All Hallows Eve. Not only will you get a sweet candy corn of a deal, but every one of their broadband connections comes with unlimited data, free. And that's no trick. So switch to DirectLink to stream and surf as much as you like. Plus, take advantage of free Wi-Fi home networking for 6 months with free installation of commercial-grade Wi-Fi equipment that ensures your entire home has the strongest, most consistent signal in every room. Talk about a treat. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop for blazing fast internet.
Blood on the saddle. There was blood in the saddle and blood all around. And a great big puddle of blood on the ground. The cowboy lay in it, all covered with gore, and he won't go riding no broncos no more. Oh, pity the cowboy, all bloody and red, for his bronco fell on him and mashed in his head. There was blood on the saddle and blood all around, and a great big puddle of blood on the ground.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm now joined by two folks that are involved with the Canby Rodeo, which also happens this week, coinciding with the Canby, the Clackamas County Fair. I was going to ask if you guys could just go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Dan Mickelson.
I'm Todd Geary.
And Todd, you are recently retired from Canby Fire District and just making it horrible for all of us that are friends with you on Facebook with all your pictures that you're posting from. It's like every day you're out fishing, man. You're enjoying your retirement or what?
I'm trying. Taking the grandkids and having a good time. Cool. Absolutely.
And how are you guys involved with the rodeo?
We're both on the board of directors. I've been active with the rodeo since 1981.
Awesome. Yeah. And you've been around for some time.
Yeah, I was actually the first associate when they started having associates and then became one of the directors later on.
Okay, cool, cool. And the Canby Rodeo, you guys mentioned you're both on the board of directors, so folks may not understand, but the Canby Rodeo and the Clackamas County Fair are actually two separate entities that operate sort of very closely together, obviously in the same kind of location, but with their own leadership, their own budgets, their own everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to start just by talking a little bit about what happens at the Canby Rodeo, what it's like for folks that have never been, or for me when I moved to this area that have never seen a rodeo before. Just sort of talk about what the rodeo is all about.
But we don't have boats and lobsters.
Okay,
we're not from Maine.
Not from
so
Maine.
Let's keep that straight right now.
I came, I was like, where are all the lobsters? Okay, so what happens at the Canby Rodeo? Set the stage for us. Tell us what it's all about.
Well, I would say, first of all, starting back in 1957, our first rodeo was in 1958, and we have tried since 1958 to cram at least 4 hours of rodeo into 2 hour time limit.
Yeah.
Sometimes we run over a little bit more if we're doing special events or whatever, but you're not going to see any kind of fluffy stuff. It is rodeo action start to finish in a short amount of time, and it runs just like a Swiss watch.
Yeah. And my understanding is that was the initial reason that it was created. It was always built around that entertainment aspect. The fair president at the time, Craig Landine, I think.
Yes, Craig Landine started it.
His idea, he wanted to add an attraction. He wanted to bring more people in, and
right.
He thought that was the best way to do it.
Right. Back then, the fair attendance was down. They needed something to boost their fair attendance, and so it was a free rodeo until holy cow, in the 90s, yeah. it was still a free rodeo.
Yeah.
And that was part of the big draw. And my mother was the fair manager, and everybody until 1990 when she passed, everybody I can remember saying, well, why don't you have big name entertainment? She says, we do have big name entertainment. It's at the rodeo grounds. Yeah. Oh, okay. We don't need to have concerts. We have one of the best rodeos in the country.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it is one of the best rodeos you're going to see. I mean, I was standing with the stock contractor one night, and we were watching. I don't remember what event it was, and he turns and looks at me, and he goes, you know, we can go to a week of the national finals, and he says, you will not see a better night than what we've seen tonight. And he turned and walked away.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow.
Yeah. That's one thing I noticed. You started talking, Dan, about the, you know, you pack 4 hours of rodeo. You guys do all of the events. Like, I'm not a rodeo expert, but
yeah.
when I've seen the Canby Rodeo, it's like, oh, you know, you guys do that thing, you do this thing. I haven't seen this. You know, I go to St. Paul Rodeo. I don't see all of these events that you guys do here in Canby.
Yeah, we do all of the events, and then we have on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, of course, that is a pre-rodeo event. We do Parade of Champions for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The first night is showmanship, I think. Is it showmanship? And then we do the breeding classes on Friday nights. And then Saturday night is all the market animals that have sold at the junior livestock auction. And it showcases our youth, you know. And there was some guys down from Puyallup here a few years ago, and we go up to Puyallup, and those guys come down here, and it's just kind of a thing like that we got going. And one of those guys says, well, how come we don't have a Parade of Champions? I said, well, I can't answer that. I hear you've got a livestock show, and their livestock show in Puyallup is huge, you know.
Yeah.
And that started years ago. Zoop Dove and I started that years ago back in the early 90s. My kids were showing at the fair then.
Yeah.
And Zoop said he was our announcer from down in Farmington, New Mexico. And he says, you know, he says, you ought to do a Parade of Champions and do something for these kids. Because we have that whole section of grandstands called the Canby Crazies.
Yeah, right.
Which... the lion's share of them are 4-H and FFA kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I sat
in that section one year by mistake.
Yeah, how was that?
It was loud.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that keeps those kids coming back for more. And then we started a scholarship program, I don't know how many years ago now, but I think we're in the neighborhoods of $40,000 worth of scholarships we've given away, like that.
At least that. You know, the Canby Rodeo Association, we pride ourselves in, you know, the stuff we've done outside of the rodeo. We put on a heck of a rodeo, and we work on that all year long.
Yeah.
You know, we'll start right after this one's over in September. It'll be our first meeting on talking about what went well and what didn't go so well this year.
Yeah.
To work on next year.
We need to get more involved with the podcast. I think that'll be number one.
You think that would be number one?
That's just my guess. That's my prediction. We'll
see. Know, yeah. All right. Well, we'll see about that. But, you know, and then we do go out and put a lot into the community. We have Cancer Awareness Night, and that's Wednesday night, and we've given, and I can't remember how much to that.
A lot.
Yeah.
We'll miss it, but you do the big free kickoff last week on that Saturday.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's
a big party for the community.
We have a big party for the community, and that's fun. And, you know, that all gets everything kind of going. It kind of gets you excited about rodeo, and it gets you excited about the following week. And, you know, Canby Rodeo is not, I tell somebody Canby Rodeo, and they go, oh, yeah, they're in Canby, and they think it's a small town little rodeo.
Yeah.
And, man, we get all the top guys in the nation and gals are coming to Canby.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, they're not just the local people or whatever. They're from You know, I always laugh at the guys from Texas. They're up here and it's 100 stinking degrees out there. We're all sweating and they're going, man, this ain't nothing. This is just so nice.
They
still got their jacket on.
Yeah, we're probably known better when we go back to Vegas. We're probably known better in Vegas when we're with our other people that put on road. We're known better back in Vegas than we are in Clackamas County.
Well, and it seems like rodeos, when you look at the full circuit and all the different rodeos, it seems like each rodeo, all the big ones anyway, you know, kind of carve out their little niche. It's not like every rodeo is apples to apples and they're compared to each other. You've got, you know, like St. Paul is not just considered like a rodeo. They're like a July 4th, you know,
yes,
rodeo. And Canby's an August rodeo. And so, like, for August rodeos, Canby's definitely one of the big ones that all the cowboys try to hit. So,
yeah.
Well, one last thing that I wanted to ask you about, just as we wrap up here, and because we mentioned the entertainment aspect of the rodeo, and that's kind of how it started, and I don't want folks to get the wrong idea that these animals and the stock are just kind of being used, you know, for entertainment, because rodeo does sometimes get that criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked this question of Doc Harms as well, you know, large animal vet, been involved with the rodeo for many, many years, when he was on the show a few months ago, and just kind of asked him to respond to that a little bit. Folks who say that rodeo's inhumane or that the animals, you know, are being used or whatnot. But personally, in my opinion, when I see a rodeo, like the respect that the cowboys obviously have for these animals, you know, the great respect and deference, they understand they're putting their life, you know, on the line out of love of the sport and just the rich tradition. To me, having watched it, I don't feel like it's inhumane.
Right.
So I'm not asking you to be like, gotcha. But I'm sure you get the question and just kind of want to ask what you guys think.
So we do get that question, and Dan and I are both on the Animal Welfare Committee also. And just like, you know, these last few weekends, we've been out there working on the rodeo grounds.
Yeah.
And that's just not to make it look great for the crowd and everything. Yeah, we want it to look good. We want it to look good for our sponsors, right? But there's also the aspect of the ground's got to be right.
Yeah.
Because if the ground's not right, the horses and the animals can get hurt.
Yeah.
So we work really hard on the ground. The chutes have to be right. They can't have any broken boards. They can't have any sharp edges.
Yeah.
They have to open and close easy. All the handling pens in the back, we've been working on the pens, making sure they don't have any sharp edges.
Yeah.
Make sure everything opens and closes good. So it's, to us, that's really, really important.
Sure.
To make sure all those things are in order. So when that stock gets here, it can perform the way it's supposed to.
And the stock itself, if I may, is specifically raised, designed, bred for this purpose. I mean, they know what they're doing. They're not like, oh, what is this? What's this guy on my back? Like, they're...
Yeah.
And majority of those animals aren't the kind of animals you see at a livestock auction that are going for 79 cents a pound, you know.
No.
These things, they got a lot of money tied up in them.
Yeah.
And
some
they
of them
work,
have their own fans and own followers.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fascinating.
They work 8 seconds a week, for crying out loud. And they eat high-quality feed, high-quality hay, everything like this. They live life. And we spill all the bucking horses right after saddle bronc every night.
Mm.
If you don't believe me, come and see for yourself.
Come and see the slicked up, nice, heavy,
slicked up,
good,
healthy, you know. And they're living the life of Riley.
Yeah, that's actually the story that Doc told. When I asked him that question, it was just like, if you watch the horses, when they get to run around, you know, after the rodeo, after they've done their work, and you can just see how much they enjoy what they get to do.
Yeah.
So that was his take.
Yeah. And there's a lot of them that go into the buck and shoots, and they just stand there and do their thing. They're athletes. They know they don't have to do anything until that chute gate grabs.
Yeah.
And they stand there and they let the guy get on. Now, some of them get a little owie in the buck and chutes, but for the most part, they stand there, and as soon as that chute gate cracks, it's hell-bent for leather. And then once it's over and they get the flank strap dropped off, they're right back to, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's give folks just the details, when it's happening, where they can find tickets. Can you get tickets at the gate? Do you get them online?
You can get tickets at the gate. You have to have tickets with a fair admission.
Okay.
So you have to have a fair admission also. You can get tickets online. You can get them at the Clackamas County Fair website. You can also get them on the Camby Rodeo website. And if you want to know anything about the Camby Rodeo, CambyRodeo.com. We've got a new website up this year. And watch that. Follow us on Facebook. We're always posting things on Facebook and questions and what's your favorite thing that happened at the Camby Rodeo and some of those things on Facebook. And we'd love to hear you, hear from you on there.
We kind of do a
couple nights or some theme nights for us. Wednesday night's a cancer awareness night. Friday night we do a military and first responder appreciation night.
Okay, cool.
So that's always good.
Yeah.
Tuesday is Kids Day.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and they get it discounted. And for the kids, we do that
boot scramble
about midstream of the rodeo so the kids can blow off some steam and. Oh Lord!
And the parents can get a break.
Well, are you bringing your kids?
We are.
All right. They're going to be there for the boot scramble.
Well, I don't know about boot scramble. We're going to be there that day for Kitty Caper.
All right.
We'll see. We'll see how they hold up for the day. You never know.
Give them a nap.
You're going to be a game day decision. You guys work with animals. You know what it's like.
Yeah. So. Give them a little nap. Throw them out in the arena without any shoes on. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be all good.
Well, thank you guys so much for telling us about the rodeo, and we'll see you out there. We're going to hopefully be able to follow up with the cowboy or cowgirl at our next episode this week, and you guys are helping us with that, or at least you promised to, Todd.
So. Yes, yes.
Joining us on the line now is Janet Bailey. She's the Vice President of Member Services for Direct Link here in Camby. And we're going to be talking about an event that's happening this Friday at their location in Mount Angel. Janet, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for asking.
Thanks for being on the Camby Now podcast.
Absolutely.
So can you start by telling us just a little bit about what you and your team does in Member Services? What's that all about?
Sure, be happy to. So Member Services, the reason it's called Member Services versus Customer Services, we are a cooperative. So our members are really the owners of our company, and so we take good care of our members. And so as part of the Member Services function, I lead marketing efforts, sales, technical support, what's called Service Center or Service Delivery, Member Services or Customer Service might be more familiar to people, and then play a leadership role with the company.
Yeah, and basically, like, if any of the members need help moving or whatnot, you head over there in your pickup truck, that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
That's awesome. And there are a lot of members that DirectLink has to handle all that.
There is, and, you know, I think that speaks a lot to the role we play in the community, and we've been around for 115 years.
That's awesome.
And so we love being able to help everybody here in Camby as well as in Mount Angel.
Yeah, you think the internet is slow now. You should have seen what it was like 115 years ago, right?
I know. Never dial up, even.
So, yeah, and obviously Camby and over in Mount Angel, which is where this event is happening. But it's a member appreciation day that's for all members, right? Not just the folks in that area.
Right, absolutely. We want our members in Mount Angel to participate in things that are happening in Camby. For instance, in Camby, one of our big summer events is the July 4th celebration. Mm-hmm. But in return, we do this Member Appreciation Day in Mount Angel, but we certainly invite our members in Camby to come join us out there.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the details. I know it's happening this Friday. Can you tell us kind of the hours and what's going on and how folks can be part of it?
Sure. So it is this Friday from 11 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock. There's a few streets that are shut down there in Mount Angel. It's on the corner of Garfield Street and College Street, so near the Glockenspiel. Usually that's a landmark
in
Mount
Angel
that people are familiar with.
Yeah.
But we do provide lunch, either hamburgers or hot dogs.
Some
of the fun of things,
you,
I know.
You had me, at, you had me at hot dogs, yeah.
So there'll be all sorts of games and things, a lot of focus on the community and especially for kids. It is summertime and what a great way to get out of the house and go do something that's fun. Dora the Explorer will be there walking around, as well as some easy video demonstrations, which is our television offering, and also even some demonstration about fiber that's really important to everyone. That's what helps us get those great speeds that most people want. But we also have participation from the local community. There will be booths for things like North Willamette Valley Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, awesome.
The Providence Benedictine Nursing Center, Silverton Senior Center, the Benedictine Sisters of Mount Angel, the Historical Society, the Mount Angel Public Library, but also the Marion County Sheriff's Office as well. One of the really cool things is there's a bike rodeo that happens during that time on part of the streets that are blocked off by the Mount Angel Police Department, where children that attend and bring their own bike will get a free helmet. And wow. They learn about bike safety from local officers. And we'll even have a demonstration with a large truck and how it's good to be safe around large trucks. So you'll even be able to climb inside of it and look around and everything.
That's super cool. That sounds awesome. Kids love to...
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, kids love to climb into fire trucks. I know my kids do, so... That's great. Okay, well, we'll definitely be there. Thanks so much for telling us about it. Anything else going on with DirectLink or anything else that you want to tell us about?
You know, just that we're busy laying fiber out in various areas right now around the out in the EB area, and we just finishing up a fiber build in a portion of Mount Angel as well. So we're doing things like that in both areas, and we're working on sort of the next few years, and we're getting ready to go into the planning season for 2020 rather, and so we'll be able to sort of let members know what's coming, and Easy Video is probably one of the big things that we're focused on right now.
For
sure.
Pretty
awesome television offering.
Yeah, it is really cool. Janet, do you want to take a second and just maybe explain, you've mentioned a couple times, the fiber, sort of what that effort is about and what that supports. My wife is always telling me I got to get more fiber in my diet, but I think you're talking about something different, so.
Yeah, a different kind of fiber, but still very important
still very
to
important.
People.
Still helps
back
things
in the
run
day,
smoothly, right? I mean, they do.
Right. And, you know, back in the day, the way we delivered service, you know, primarily in the beginning, telephone service was with copper, either aerial, so the telephone poles, or underground. But the thing about copper is it degrades over time.
Sure.
And it also has limitations, now that we have the internet, it has limitations on the speeds that we can deliver to homes, to where fiber is much different. So with the fiber, you know, we can get up to gig service. It doesn't degrade and deteriorate with things like weather and all that copper does. Of course, there's a lot of work that goes into laying that, but it's huge. And so our goal here in the Cambie area is to completely have fiber in the next few years. And if you go to our website, you can see the map where the various fiber sort of projects are going on. Like I say, currently it's out in the Edie area. I believe next year we'll be also focusing on Central Cambie to a certain extent. Apartment complexes are a little bit more complex, but but we're, you know, our goal here in the next couple of years, 3 years or so for Cambie, is to be entirely fiber, which also helps a lot when it comes to weather and some of those other things that people are impacted. And we also have a plan for Mount Angel. So
That's
if you
awesome.
Live in Mount Angel, you can go to our website and learn more about that as well.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for explaining that, Janet, because, you know, we obviously in our day and age, so many of us rely on the internet so much, and it's just like we almost just expect it to be there now. So much of it's like wireless, you know, we want Wi-Fi everywhere and we just turn on our phones and it's there. But I think it's so easy to forget the process that makes that happen and how, as you mentioned,
right.
it often takes a lot of work, very manual labor at times, to bring that to us. So thank you for shedding a little light on that side of things.
You're very welcome. And you know, the other thing I remind people is, you know, you may hear the phrase the Internet of Things, but everything from our doorbells to our thermostats to sometimes refrigerators and everything are all running on the Internet.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
It isn't just your computer. So that speed becomes more and more important. And so that's why it's important to us to get that complete and out for members.
Yeah.
So that they can have the best experiences possible.
They have smart toilets now, Janet. Did you know that?
Oh, they do. I did not know that.
I've heard
that.
That's
my list.
I don't know. That's one thing that I don't want connected to the internet. So what I do in that room. So.
Right. You have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Janet. We'll see you out there in Mount Angel later this week. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks so much, Tyler.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Canby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate and we saved him 14 grand in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800, or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599. Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183. Equal housing opportunity.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guests today, Tyler Nizier, Dan Mickelson, Todd Gary, and Janet Bailey. And to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do. We encourage you to check them out and help support the local small businesses who support us. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
And our next episode, we'll be reporting live from the Clackamas County Fair. We'll bring you the lights of the Midway, the thrills of the Canby Rodeo, the sights, sounds, and smells of the Livestock Exhibition. When you listen to this podcast, we will literally come to your house, knock on your door, and hand you a fresh, piping hot elephant ear the size of a monster truck tire. Okay, we're not doing any of that, but it will still be a lot of fun. Don't miss it.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions for how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanBeNow. Or to learn how you can start supporting our show and gain access to exclusive content through Patreon, visit CanBeNowPod.com/plus.